Brother Mose, would you pray for me? Father, again, we come in your presence this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you. Father, we lift our glad hearts, praise and worship to you this morning. Oh God, may you receive the sacrifice of thanksgiving from our lips this morning. We bless your holy name. We're anticipating what you have to tell us this morning. Father, we pray for Brother John as he breaks the bread of life to us, oh God. You'd give him utterance, clarity of mind, freedom of speech, Lord, this morning, that he would be able to have freedom to tell us what you have told him. Father, bless him this morning. Give him strength. God, I pray that the words of life would be brought forth to us, each one of us, maybe in a different place, maybe in a different time of life. But God, you have the ability to break to each one of us the things that we need. God, this morning we're anticipating for those things to work out into each one of our hearts and lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mose. Well, I want to greet you here this morning in our Savior's name, Jesus Christ. And I wish you the peace and grace that he has to offer here this morning. I guess I kind of feel like Philip did when he walked up here. I feel a bigger need to be sitting down there and listening. When I was preparing for this little message, I knew and I feel I don't pray for the speakers enough. And if it's not too selfish of me, I want you to ask to pray for me as we go through this. If there's anything I learned from this, it's that. And I know I didn't pray enough for the speakers and the ones that are sharing. Beautiful singing, deep songs we sang this morning. It was very, very touching to be here already. Beautiful testimonies that was shared, what the Lord has done in their lives, and what he will continue to do if we will let him. This little story that I have in mind this morning is written in Luke 19, just 10 verses. We'll read it. Maybe we can go through it and see what the Lord has. Luke 19, the verse 10 verses, I think it is. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus for who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And we heard that already this morning. Now here we got this setting. Little fellow here. I think he felt pretty weighted down. I think he had a heavy heart. Plus, I think he had some money and things in his pocket that kept weighing him down. And he wanted to meet Jesus somehow. He wanted to meet Jesus. This was his, he said he sought to see Jesus for who he was. This was his vision. I think this is the key verse here in this whole chapter. Seeking. He was seeking for the Lord. But this fellow was small, just a little guy. And if I can say this, maybe I shouldn't say this, but there's a lot of small people, when you meet them, that they seem to be a little cocky. And I don't know, was he like this or not? But this little man couldn't get up to Jesus because there's people around Jesus. This thing reminds me kind of like a public auction. We got the auctioneer here in the middle, and he's selling something laying on the ground here, and you're trying to see what's happening, and you can't see. There's people all around, and if you could just climb up on something, get a little higher. And this is what Zacchaeus did. He got up, and he ran ahead. And he climbed up on that tree. I'm thinking here, you know, he may have been watching Jesus here a couple of days. Maybe this was on his heart. He was going to follow this man. Maybe he knew where he was going to go. Maybe he knew his path. I don't know. It's just my thoughts. And he knew that tree was Jesus was going under. So he climbed up there. I can just see him go, this is flink as a cat. Just climbing up there, little guy. It can climb so fast. There he sits. And here comes Jesus. I got to think of something. When we was growing up, we had a tree that hung way over the road. And us boys, we built a little platform on that tree. And we'd see a buggy come down by Uncle Harv's. We'd run up the tree and we'd lay down on that platform. And as he came, I remember my heart, as that buggy came closer and closer, I remember my heart just beating faster and faster. Is he going to look up? Is he going to see me? Are they going to see us? Is he going to tell Dad? I kept thinking, and I remember the excitement that was in that. And I don't know if this is how Zacchaeus felt. There he was, up that tree. And here comes Jesus walking with a crowd of people. And I can imagine that every once in a while they would stop and they'd be talking to Jesus there. And I don't know, maybe he was saying, come on, hurry up, I want to see. I don't know what he was thinking. But there he was up in that tree. Yesterday morning when I was going through this, they said breakfast is ready. And I was reading right there. We was up in this tree. So we sang a song. And they gave out the page number. And I was 100 pages off. I don't know what I was thinking. I was still up in the tree, I guess. But I was 100 pages off. And I opened that to that number. It was 558. And it says, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Can we sing that? Could we sing that? not pass me by. Maybe that's what he was thinking. You're so busy there with them other people, and I'm just a little guy. I got to get your attention somehow. And he's up in that tree, and here comes Jesus, and he keeps coming closer and closer. And he comes up there, and he looks up, and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. That is one come I'd like to talk to you about a little bit. That come there, Zacchaeus had a chance to make his things right. Zacchaeus had a chance to receive him joyfully. And he did. It's the come that Jesus talks about in Matthew 11. At the end, there are some verses that he talks about. He says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a beautiful invitation from Jesus. And he told Zacchaeus to come. If we take the yoke, we will walk together. We will learn of him. Learn of Jesus. This yoke, a lot of you don't know, but we grew up with horses. We had workhorses. Most of you know. And this yoke that Jesus is talking about here is not the kind of yoke, I don't think, what they had in mind there went around their necks, I'm thinking. I don't know. I'm not sure. But this yoke we had at home, we hooked two workhorses together. And whenever they would pull together, you could do a lot with a team of horses. But what happened a lot of times, one would jump ahead or pull back, and they'd be going back and forth like that, and you would get nowhere. It was frustrating. And here Jesus says, take a hold of this yoke. Take a hold, John. Take a hold. I want to help you through this life. And he will. If we keep a hold of this yoke, that's a promise. He will help us through this life. But when we start lagging back or jumping ahead of him, that it's not going to work. That's one kind of come that I want to talk about. It's the invitation that he has to come to him. Now, there's another kind of come that I want to talk about. When Aiden asked me if I wanted to share today, he said that he'd want one of the older men speak today. And I got to went back to work and started thinking about this. One of the older men. I don't consider myself old, but I know one thing. I think lots more of death than I did at one time. It's just something about it. When you was 20 and 30 years old, I know I didn't think of death near as much. If this world keeps going, somewhere there's going to be a tombstone with my name on it. And there's going to be three facts on that tombstone. My name is going to be on it, my birth date, and my departure. But there's something else that's going to be on this tombstone. something else. Maybe I can write it up here. It's going to be my name. The year I was born. And then there's going to be a dash. And this dash is what's important to the Lord. What happened in this dash, my life. That's what's going to be important to the Lord. Was I a true discipleship of Jesus? Was I a true follower of Jesus? Did I take up my cross daily in this dash? This and this is not so important. But it's the dash. My life in this dash. Sometimes the dashes aren't very long. They're just little dashes. Sometimes they're just little dots. Just little dots. I remember 20 years ago, born to us with a little daughter. She had midline defects. We didn't have her very long. I remember walking in Kayla Nichol. Dr. Fisher. She told me. The doctor told us there. Said, John, how is he going to pay for this? So I told her a little bit how we do it. She just shook her head. She said, you realize if we fix everything that's wrong with this baby, it's going to cost you $1 million. I remember walking out of that hospital and the mountains was looming around us. I think it's how the Israelites felt when they come up to the Red Sea and they couldn't cross. The mountains was around them, and the enemy was coming from behind. But the Lord had other plans. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He had other plans. One Monday morning, one of my daughters woke up, just to tell you a little more how the Lord works. Woke up. She hardly ever woke up before during the night. She woke up. She wanted a drink of water. My wife seen there was something wrong with Susan right away. So we all got up. And we held her. We seen that life is fleeing. And we all held her. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, Jesus come. And he says, come, Susan, come. Now that's the other come I'd like to talk about a little bit. That come there is final. It's the final come. There's nothing we can change. We got our books written in the... I got to think of this song. This song that we sometimes sing. It says, the clouds are backwards rolled. I don't even remember what song it is. And Jesus is going to come through there. I don't know how this is all going to go. I don't think he's going to come on this dirty earth here. I think we're going to meet him in the air. And the books will be open. And he's going to look for my name. He's going to look for my name. And it's... Oh, there it is. It's all full of blood. Can't hardly make it out. But there it is.
What a day, glorious day that will be. But that kind of a come, it will be final. We can't change nothing. Zacchaeus has come where he said, come. He gave him opportunity to change. He could change his things. And he did. But getting back to Susan, I remember that morning, and I remember the topic we had the other night about the visitation. I had to think of this. Did I see what was happening that Monday morning, or did I completely miss the visitation? I think she's up there now, and she's calling. She's saying, Daddy, are you coming? Mama, are you coming? And to her siblings, are you coming? I think that was part of it. But I wasn't seeing the visitation. A lot of that I wasn't seeing. And that's the burden. That's the burden I have on my heart this morning. Is that when He speaks in one way or the other, that I see this. Pray for me that I can see when the Lord is talking. I got to think of Samuel. I think it's Samuel and Eli. Samuel was just a youth. And he was sleeping in a room. You know the story better than I do. And he was sleeping in a room and Eli was in another room. And the Lord is trying to get his attention. And Samuel would run over to Eli and Eli would say, get back to bed. I don't know what you're saying, or I don't remember how I went there. And then he went, did that a couple times. And finally it dawned on Eli, it's the Lord. Answer him. Tell him you're hearing. And Samuel did. I think that can be for us today. Sometimes it's just a tap from a friend saying, John, the Lord, it's the Lord. He wants to speak to you. Am I listening? Back to our story, 5 and 6, verse 5 and 6. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and come down and received him joyfully. Just a beautiful picture there. I had to think, what did they talk about? Oh, it would have been interesting to hear that. Just to sit there and listen to them talk. I don't know. Maybe Jesus said, now look, Zacchaeus. Just my thoughts. We could go on and on with this. Said, now look, you did a beautiful thing there. You received me with joy. But there's going to be more in your life. Remember the yoke. To keep a hold of the yoke. There will be sorrows and joys. I don't know what I always told him. I don't know. It's just been so interesting to be there. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, they always had their problems with that. Now when Zacchaeus come walking, or when Jesus was walking, this was just a perfect, the stage was set. This was perfect for Jesus. This was what he loved. To help somebody, reach out in passion and help somebody. And he still loves that. He does it. We've heard it this morning. In Luke 5, it says the scribes
But the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering and said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold." Fourfold. I got to thinking about that. The man was serious. It's fourfold. I think it was that something that happened inside here was showing up. What happened inward was an outward change. I think that's exactly what happened here. I think that Zacchaeus was seeing the seriousness, the sowing and reaping, you might say, and going back and making his things right. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." Amen. That's his business. Open every day, 7 days a week. You can go to him any time. At that time, there's so many people around him. You almost had to climb a tree. But here, today, we could all go to him at once. It's amazing. I know we've got a lot of time, but this is not a very long story, and it's really all I have to share with you this morning. I think I'll close it's called a benediction from Paul here, if I can find it. "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Amen.